Give Jesus a good clap offering. Amen. Come on, a radical clap offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I'm really overwhelmed by your love. Both of us are. I'm just like overwhelmed. You know, that just meant a lot to us, Danny, Barbara, and all the regionals, you know, our regional pastors. Thank you so much. You know, I get uncomfortable sometimes because, you know, even to this point, I don't even feel like I deserve it. But God knows what He's doing, amen. He knows what He's doing. But once again, I want to thank you for those great words. I mean, that's enough to keep me for another year, amen. I don't even have to pray. Just those words, amen. I'm just playing. Praise the Lord. Except a couple of brothers that I need to deal with, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. Yeah. I'll never become a Raider fan, amen. Amen. And I won't become a Cowboy fan either. I know where I'm at. Amen. Praise the Lord. But once again, thank you. It's good to have fun. You know, it's good we just feel like we're really, you know, and I apologize for last night. Instead of saying the Rio Grande region, I said, I didn't notice. My wife told me, I said, oh man, I said the Rocky Mountain region, but you know, praise the Lord. They sound so same. Amen. But it's because we're so connected, you know. Even our gang retreat is all of the our multi-region. So praise the Lord. We need to make some adjustments there, man, and bring everybody in. Amen. But once again, want to thank you. I just overwhelmed. I have a couple with me that I'm going to let share testimony tomorrow. But they're a great couple, Joe and Chanel. You hear their story and. I've heard it 100 times, and I break every time. Our church breaks every time. They looked like they couldn't break a jar. They were both two heroin addicts. They came in the homes the same time. He was in the home, in the men's home. She was in the women's home. Their testimony, they lived in a car with their three kids, and they were both heroin addicts. Her mom is the star because both her and her sister were in the home at the same time. Both have three kids. And their mom took all six kids for 1 year and took care of them as they went into the home. And that's, praise the Lord. And tomorrow I'll go there. They get a calling on their life. When I told them I wanted them to come, they go, whoa, whoa, whoa. They didn't know how to act. Amen. But we really feel like they've got a great, great, there's a calling upon their life. I wanted to come down here because I want to do a little bit more teaching as much as I can because I want to save my energy for tomorrow. Because when I preach, I just go crazy, man, you know, and last night I went home and I said, man, I gotta pace myself. But what I want to talk about this morning is so important to our cause. So I really want to focus in on leadership. I really realize that, you know, that we're not going to accomplish anything unless we have leadership within our churches. And not just any kind of leaders, but strong, strong leaders that allow God. How many believe that? Amen. We need more leaders. We need more leaders in our churches, strong leaders that can help us be able to do what God has called us to do. I'm going to take Peter this morning, and I'm going to just look at some of the things in Peter's life. But Luke chapter 8 and verse number 10 and 11 says this. It says, then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid from now on. Don't be afraid. He said, from now on you'll fish for people. And so they pulled their boats on shore and left everything, and they followed Jesus. Father, once again, just minister to us through this word, Lord God, that we can really be directional this morning, Lord God, for our region. That we know, God, that the challenge that's set before every pastor, even myself, Lord, is to raise up leadership in our churches so that we'll be able to do what you've called us to do. And accomplish this great vision. We know that it has to be through strong leadership. And so I pray that you open up our hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The story in Luke really, really defines the leadership style of Jesus. Even the story of how Jesus was able to, you know, work with Peter, even in this little story about when Peter was fishing. But it really, much more than the story and for the moment, really defines how Jesus shaped and impacted the men that he would trust with the future of his mission. He shaped, how he shaped leaders. Leaders who would be able to move the vision that he had, that he was leaving, that would propel him into the future. Jesus always shaped leaders with a mission mindset. Always led with an intention and not assumption. Always with a purpose in mind. Listen, leaders are never met, they're never shaped with assumption or presumption. Leaders are made with intention. Those of you pastors, leadership can never be assumed or presumed. It's always got to be done with the intention. But Jesus always led with a purpose. He always impacted his leaders to become mission-minded, always with a focus on the mission. He just didn't lead men. He shaped their life. He shaped leaders. And he shaped the life of Peter. Peter was a project for Jesus, just like many of us are projects. To shape a man and a woman into a leader is not an easy thing. To shape him into the quality of the caliber of leader needed for the future wasn't an easy thing. Just like many of us, when the Lord begins to shape us, the Holy Spirit begins to shape us as men and women, as couples, into leaders, it's not an easy thing because we're not easy people. Come on, somebody say amen. And Peter wasn't an easy person. His name, the word Peter means shifter. That's what his DNA was. He was a shifter. His given name was Simon. It meant shifter. What a shifter. Amen. That was his nature. And shifters, you know, and we have a lot of shifters inside the church, especially in Victory Outreach. Because when you look at shifters, shifters are not finishers. And how many people you know start good, but they never finish anything? They quit when things get tough. That's what shifters do. Shifters talk big, but they act small. Shifters are emotional, unstable, and unreliable. And that's what Peter was. That's how God makes a leader. God begins to take shifters and makes them leaders. God, but when you look at what Jesus did to Peter, he didn't call him Simon. He would call him Rock, which was Peter. His given name was Simon, but he would call him Peter because his job was to shape Simon into becoming a leader that was stable, because rocks are stable, reliable, finishers, unmovable, and dependable. That's what Jesus wanted to take Peter from, a shifter. That's leadership. That's the way God shapes a leader. It's sad when we put shifters into leadership positions. It's sad because there might be some leaders here this morning that aren't even here. Well, amen. You know somebody's not even here. Why? Because they're really shifters. They never let God shape their lives. When you look at the Gospels, there were some times that Jesus would call Simon. When he called him Simon, he was acting like a shifter. Then there's some times when he would call him Peter. He was called him Peter because there was some semblance of some kind of change within his life. And then sometimes he would call him Simon Peter, because he didn't know who in the heck he was that day. Even Jesus didn't know who he was. But all through that, Jesus never lost his intention with Peter's life. The journey of the leader, the journey of a leader, every potential leader has a journey that God brings them on. You don't just get here overnight. I did a study of that. Some of the great leaders, there's certain characteristics that every journey of a leader, every life of a leader, this is his journey. On that journey, you can see the hand of God that God orchestrates. In the journey of a leader, you can see the hand of God that God orchestrates on that journey. In the life of a leader, you can see the hand of God orchestrating their lives. God putting their life
and putting the leader in the right places. God identifies and then He orchestrates. In the life of a leader, there are no coincidences. There are all orchestrations. When God identifies you as a leader, then He begins to orchestrate things in your life. Puts you in the right places. Come on, somebody say amen. Those of you that are leaders, look back to your life and say, man, that wasn't me. It was God orchestrating things in my life. In the journey of the leader, God not only orchestrates, but God insulates. What does that mean? God insulates the life of a leader. In other words, God shields and protects a leader's life. He not only orchestrates, but He insulates that leader's life from things that would hinder their destiny. Come on, somebody say amen. Sometimes God in the life of a leader takes things out of your life. He takes people out of your life. And you don't even know why, because He's insulating you, because those people can hinder your destiny. You want to be a leader? Then God insulates your life. Sometimes He takes people out of your life. Sometimes He takes Shasha out of your life. Amen. Sometimes He takes fake man of God out of your life. Well, I'm a man of God. No, you're not. And you don't know why. Why is God? Sometimes you don't get the job that you've been praying for. And you say, why? Because God is insulating you. God insulates you from anything that's going to hinder you from achieving your destiny. Because in the life of a leader, God not only orchestrates, but God insulates. He removes things from us. He keeps us from things. In the life of a leader and the journey, God also elevates. So in the life of a leader, that's when you say, well, I want to be a leader. The journey of a leader, it involves God orchestrating things. It involves God insulating us from things that are going to hinder us from our destiny. But in the end, God elevates. God not only orchestrates and insulates, God elevates the life of the leader. He brings favor and promotion on a leader's life. It is not man that elevates. It is God that elevates. We got to take 10 seconds and clap. If you look at the life of a leader, the shaping of a leader is not an overnight thing. You don't take 5 courses of Vethi and become a leader. I got to say this, faithfulness and loyalty are very important to leadership, but they're not all that's all about leadership. It's not what it's all about. It is allowing God to shape your life, to shape you and shape you and shape you and shape you, to orchestrate things, put you in the right places, to insulate you from things that are going to hinder you in this journey. And then eventually God elevates a leader, the promotion that comes from God. That's the life of a journey of a leader. Sometimes, man, we don't have the patience to let God shape our lives. What kind of quality of leaders do we need? It's going to take quality leaders to be able to take the city of Española, the city of Las Cruces, the city of Deming, the city of El Paso, and the city of Albuquerque. It's going to take quality leaders. Can I hear somebody say amen? So when you look at Peter's life, you can see how God just really shaped him. He really shaped Peter's life. I want to give some ways that the Lord shaped Peter's life real quick, and then we'll finish. Because He shaped Peter's life using things that you sometimes you wouldn't even think how God or Jesus would shape his life. Number one, Jesus shaped Peter's life through His weakness. Okay. Weakness. Every person has a weakness. If a person tells you, I ain't got no weakness, lying's his weakness. Amen. You're a liar, brother. Amen. Everybody has a weakness, right? Jesus shapes our lives through our weakness. He's not deterred by the weakness in our lives. Our weakness is not a source of exasperation to Him. He's not annoyed or irritated by our weaknesses, but it is actually our weakness is a source of inspiration, because when He looks at us, look at me for a second. When Jesus looks at you as a potential leader, He does not see your liabilities, He sees your possibilities. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you get into leadership, leadership will expose and magnify the weaknesses in your character. Can I hear somebody say amen? Peter had so many weaknesses. His ambition was one of his temperance and his ambition were one of the biggest things. He was always sticking his foot in his mouth. But Jesus was able to shape that. And you might think, oh, I can't qualify or I'm this. Listen, when you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to shape your life, even through your weaknesses. Come on, somebody say amen. I always like to use the example of this because I love football. I love football. Danny loves football. We respect each other's teams, right? Cowboys, Broncos. Even though we beat you down this year, just this year, but you beat us down in the Super Bowl many years ago. You don't let me forget that. We're respectable. But I just flat out hate the Raiders. I don't even like them. Amen. Hey, brother, you brought it up. I didn't. And I have the mic. You brought it up, man. You should have never done that. Never done that to me. Never done that. But when two teams play, Cowboys and the Broncos play a game. For that game, of course, there's video footage being taken of that game. But there's actually one video, but it's used for different purposes. That one video of the game, the breakdown of the game. One of those breakdowns is for the future opponent. For example, if we're playing a team Denver was playing a team this week, but they're playing another team next week, Philadelphia Eagles. They have that video, and they use that video for the purpose of identifying weakness in preparation to expose those weaknesses. They get that video and say, where are the weaknesses in this team? And their purpose, sole purpose, is to expose those weaknesses. The other team, which is the Broncos themselves, also breaks down that video for the purpose of identifying weakness in preparation to correct those weaknesses. One team breaks it down to expose the weakness. The other team breaks it down, identifies. Both videos identify the weakness, but each has a different purpose. One to expose, one to identify, to correct. What a picture of the Holy Spirit and the enemy. Because what the enemy does, you know, we sit here and say, I ain't got no, yeah, you do. You have weaknesses. But what the enemy does, the enemy wants to identify those weaknesses so that he can expose those weaknesses. The more that you hide the weaknesses as a leader, the more that you hide them, the enemy knows, he identifies, and he exposes those things to hinder you. But thank God for the Holy Spirit in the life of a leader. Amen. Because the leader, listen to me, the Holy Spirit will identify those same weaknesses. It's not for the purpose of exposing them. It's for the purpose of correcting them. Yeah. The journey of a leader. And the journey of a leader, you never stop growing. You never stop allowing the Holy Spirit to minister your life. Jesus wasn't deterred because Peter cut somebody's ear off. He wasn't deterred because he always put his foot in his mouth. He wasn't deterred. He even wasn't deterred when Peter denied him. Slow down, Pastor. Slow down, Pastor Tom. Slow down. You're preaching again. Huh? I mean, talk about being disloyal. But it didn't deter him because he wanted to correct those things in his life. He shapes us as leaders even through our weaknesses by correcting those things within our lives. A growing leader always responds to what the Holy Spirit is doing in their life. Come on, somebody say, thank God for the advocate of the Holy Spirit within our life, because it's able to identify our weaknesses and it's able to correct our weaknesses. We do not need leaders of the caliber of leaders we need are not leaders that hide all their weaknesses, but we need leaders that allow the Holy Spirit to identify those things so the Holy Spirit can correct those things within our life. Somebody say amen. We can change. The Holy Spirit gives us the foundation that you and I can change. Somebody say amen. He used Peter's weaknesses to correct them, to shape his life as a leader. Another thing that Jesus shaped Peter's life was that he shaped him to be open and teachable, to have a teachable heart. Teachable heart really means something that we need to understand, and it means that we don't know everything. Well, don't get slain in the spirit. You don't know everything. Amen. Leaders don't know. We don't know everything. But he shaped him to be a leader that was had an openness to understand that you're going to make mistakes. Huh? You know, when I sent Pastor Renee and Sister Gemma, just the way it worked out, you know, I mean, you know, they came to my house. I just gotten a call from Pastor Al, and he said, "Do you have anybody in your multi-region that we can put in Las Cruces? I'm making a change." And I go, "Okay, well, I'll look and I'll try to figure it out, see if we have anybody." And then Renee and Gemma's their name came to my spirit, and I go, "Well, you know, they'd be a pretty good fit." They didn't know. And I said, "Well, let's make sure that you know." I didn't eat Taco Bell last night, and you know, it's not the Holy Spirit speaking, but it's Enchirito speaking. Amen. I don't eat Taco Bell, Barbara. Amen. I don't eat Taco Bell. Amen. Amen. I eat Mexican food, but of course, our Mexican food is not as good as this Mexican food. Amen. But I didn't say that. Amen. Danny and Barbara said that. Amen. They think Jesus lives in Albuquerque. Amen. I remember the night they came to my house, and you know, they came, you know, to just to bare their hearts. You know, so he was, you know, whenever God wants to move in your life, you're uncomfortable in life. You're just not happy. You know, so you're not just, you know. And we had this conversation many times. There were certain turning points in their life where they'd always come. The end result. That's why I know they can go through anything, because when they came to the end of their rope, they always said, "Pastor, we need to talk to you." And they would come and plant themselves in my house, bare their souls, and then I would slap Renee in the head. Amen. Okay, then let me speak now, brother. Let me show you where you're really at. Amen. My wife, Gemma, had a great relationship. Renee and I, Renee's got such a soft heart. So he came that night to bare his soul. You know, it's like, you know, like, complain. Amen. It's all right. I respect a man that'll look me in the face and tell me what's going on inside of his heart instead of a man going on social media and telling everybody else. Oh, well, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Amen. And they don't do it outright. They do it subtly. I didn't know leaders did that. Come on. That's another message. Amen. So I'm sitting there just listening, you know, listening. You don't know that, like, what I know. It was so quick, I didn't even have time to tell my wife what to think. I got in trouble for that, amen. Forgive me, amen. Well, you tell everybody else, you don't tell me, amen. I learned, amen. I know she would be on board. I said, "Listen, what about Las Cruces?" I just changed the whole thing. You know, came in, you know, bare the heart. Oh, just life came to Renee. It's like he came in like an inflated balloon. And as I was talking to both of them, they came in like this, and they just went. But I knew, and it just happened to work out that I went to Las Cruces for the first time this year. We've been up there a year and a half. I felt so bad, but I didn't have a life. My life belonged to Pastor Sonny. Literally, we counted how many times I went to L.A. last year for the conference. I went 14 times to L.A. That's just for the getting ready for the conference. But I felt bad. And I knew he was going to go through it. And I knew the enemy was going to come in at every avenue, come in and attack their life. But you know what makes a real leader is when you allow the Holy Spirit to come in. I've seen such a growth in their lives. I've seen such a growth. Because you know what? You don't go out. You don't take a city ready-made. Oh, yeah, you have all the details in order. You're loyal. You're not going to sin. You're not going to fall apart. You got a good marriage. But you don't have everything in order. We don't send out perfect men. We send men that will gird themselves in, plant themselves in, set their stakes in, and allow the Holy Spirit to tell them, you don't know everything, you're going to fail, you're going to make mistakes, but I'm going to correct those things in your life. Amen. I'm going to shape you into being a man of God. You could have got hurt with me, and I probably did.
With my father.
I said, call Danny. You know, it's play. So I had to release him. You're Danny's now. I'm still your spiritual father. But it's what I see how God shapes leaders. It's through our weaknesses. If we run for our weaknesses will eventually take us out. But if we stand in them. And also being open and teachable. Just say, God, you know, Jesus shapes leaders like he did Peter because they're made aware of their pride. He's able to shape people to be leaders, to be open and teachable, and make them aware of their pride. Sometimes it seems like everybody else is aware of our pride except us. But some of us are proud people. We feel like we know everything, that we can't make mistakes. Someone said this, a growing leader cannot be teachable and prideful at the same time. Can't be. That's not even what I want to say, because to me, that's not hard. To teach people to learn new things. Listen, stay with me on this. And I think when you look at what Jesus did in Peter's life, it wasn't just teaching Peter to learn new things. Listen to this. He was teaching him to unlearn some things. And it's harder to teach a man and a woman to unlearn some things than it is to teach him to learn things. Pastor, what book are you reading? I want to grow. Give me some nuggets, Pastor. Give me some nuggets. Throw it on me, Pastor. Give me some words, you know. Every time I have a training center, they always corner me and say, give me some words of wisdom. Amen. Stay in the UTC. Amen. See ya. I don't want to be ya. Amen. But man, sometimes, you know, guys go, well, Pastor, this year I want to learn. I want to change. I want to change. Teach me, Pastor. And I'm going to sit there and say, man, before you learn anything new, you got to start unlearning some of those things that have been taking you out. Sometimes before Jesus can shape you, he has to reshape you. Huh? Daddy, Barbara, and I, we play golf together. Your pastor is a good golfer, and his wife's a good golfer. His wife always wants to beat me. Amen. And we play golf. My golf swing is one of the weirdest swings in the world. I actually, you're supposed to, when you play golf, open up, you know, your club's supposed to be at a certain angle. I close my club completely. There is, watch me, like, I think it's going to go that way. Somehow when they come back around, some miracle happens. It's God, right? It's God. I close that thing. I close that thing. And when I come around, it just opens up and I hit it straight. People have tried to analyze me. Pastor Mitchell, who's a pro, he don't even tell me anything. My God, I don't understand that dude's stuff. I don't understand swing. I ain't right. When I play with other people, they're going, just do that, man. You know why? Because I got to be honest with you. I was never taught right. You know, I had to learn on myself. I love to play golf, and I'm not bad. We're not bad. We're never going to win anything. We're not going to win anything. Amen. And Barbara ain't never going to beat me. Amen. Because I'll cheat to win. Amen. If I have to. Amen. But if somebody were to come to me and say, you need to take lessons and start over. I look and say, first of all, I'm too old to start over. This doesn't mean you can change me. You can't change me. Because eventually I'll revert back to what I know all the time. Because it's hard to unlearn people. But that's the way God shapes leaders. Amen. It's not always about learning new things. Teach me something new to grow my church. Pastor, give me some nuggets so I can grow my church. What's the latest fad? What is San Diego doing? What is Chino doing? What is Whittier doing? Sometimes God says, stop! You need to unlearn some things that you're doing before I can pour something new inside of your life. Sometimes, man, I just need somebody to come and slap me and tell me you're a disgrace to the game of golf. Amen. You are a disgrace to the fundamentals of golf. Amen. You need to go back to square one. You need to learn how to hold that club. That's what the Holy Spirit does to many of us. We wonder why something's not happening in our life. Why we're not winning men. And we're not being the leader that God wants to. Because God says you can't learn anything until you start unlearning some stuff in your life. Stuff like integrity. That's a big thing to me. I have guys that transfer leadership from other churches. They're pastors. I've had Jonah about three in the last 3 or 4 years. And they come in and I think that, man, they're just automatically just going to get in the flow. I step back and I watch their integrity. How do they handle money? How do they handle paying their bills? How do they handle these things? Are they hustlers? What do they do? Do they have integrity? Because then my first job is to unlearn some things in their life. And there's one individual, man, that he came with great brother. Call him pastor, but he's not even a pastor because he don't have the license. He came to me and he said, I want to come under your ministry. And I said, okay, number one, no promises. I do not give promises. I don't even know who you are. So you sit under my ministry because I want to see who you are. And for the first 6 months, this guy, he showed his heart. Because that sometimes, you know, as pastors, we're so desperate for good leaders. You know, you look, you resemble good leaders. Remember, you preach next Sunday morning. Okay? Well, yeah, you look like a leader. Amen. You look like a leader. You don't act like a leader, but you look like a leader. Amen. But as time went on, you could just see his integrity. It was weird because we're just sitting there. I was sitting there having a meeting with my top leaders. And all of a sudden, his name came out 3 or 4 times. He'd been borrowing money there, and doing this. And I backed off and says, this man has to unlearn these things in his life before God can put something on his life. That's how the Lord shapes leaders. He shapes leaders because he steps back and says, there's things that you have to unlearn in your life before I can deposit. As a pastor, sometimes we just got to sit back and we have to take inventory of our lives as leaders, pastors, and as top leaders, key leaders. We have to sit back and say, there are things that I'm doing that I need to unlearn in my life in order for God to deposit something that I need to learn in my life and deal with my life so that that's how God shapes leaders. I don't want to be a leader that's ineffective. I want to be a leader that I can have a mission mindset. What the Lord is putting in me and shaping me to so that I can be effective in what I'm doing. And I think sometimes we need to take a step back. I'm focusing on pastors and leaders, especially the pastors, because, you know, I want this region to grow. But it doesn't grow. Listen, it's not going to grow just by projecting vision. We can project all the vision that we want, that we're going to do this. But sometimes you have to step back and we have to ask God, what kind of leaders are you shaping us to be? What kind of leaders are you shaping? And what kind of leaders am I shaping within my church so that we can do what God has called me? That's why I brought Brother Joe and Sister Chanel. Because the Lord told me, well, you know, you're not preparing couples for the future. You know what? Listen, I'm going to tell you, the way I've adapted 2018 in our church is I'm not making changes. I'm not strategizing for 2018. I'm strategizing for 2019. And because the Lord showed me that what you do now will determine how the year changes in 2019. Can I hear somebody say amen? Amen. Because you just don't wake up one morning and be effective. You just can't. You don't wake up one morning and be a leader that's be effective. That doesn't happen. You have to step back and you have to start making some intentional changes in your life, because you're not projecting for 2018. You'd be like the farmer going and dropping seed and say, "I want that fruit, that plant tomorrow." It doesn't happen. You got to start making changes in your life. Start looking and saying, "This is what we're going to do. This is what I'm going to be. This is the kind of leader I'm going to be. I'm going to make those changes. I'm going to start learning some things. I'm going to start looking at my weaknesses and allow the Holy Spirit, because I want to be a leader. As 2019 shifts, I want to be a leader that God can use my life." Woo. I mean, we as leaders, we have to learn a whole lot of things that are much different than just leadership principles. I've had so many leadership trainings. My people should be world-class leaders. I mean, they should be teaching the leadership. I've had all the elders, everybody, Pastor Sonny. But that year after year, they're the same. It's because when God shapes the leader, come on, somebody say amen. Let me give you a couple more real quick, because it's important. Because these are things that Jesus shaped into Peter's life. Somebody say amen. We'll try to get you out of here in the next, because we have a party to go. Amen. You're going to clean up what you messed up. Payback. I don't know where that came from. Amen. 59. You're not. I turned 60 last year, and I was so depressed. Wife goes, "You want a party? I don't want nothing." Amen. I close the door. I want to be depressed. Amen. I don't want to be 60. But hey, you know, 60 is the new 50, right? Tell my body that. Amen. It still hurts. Amen. A couple more. You with me? Are there any leaders that want to be leaders this year? Amen. I look at Peter's life, a couple. You know what Jesus produced in Peter's life? He shaped him with grace. Listen to me. Grace in a believer's life is power. It's not just pardon. Sometimes we just experience one aspect of grace. Sometimes we think grace is the power of just pardon. But it's grace is not just the pardon of a believer's sin. It is the enabling power not to sin. Grace is the power in the life of a believer that enables the Holy Spirit. In other words, grace provides the power that makes the demands of God's holiness an experience of freedom rather than fear. That's what he put into Peter's life. After he failed, he put grace into his life. Grace, you know, grace that says this, that, you know, serving God is hard as a leader. It's hard to be holy. But when you look through the eyes of grace, it is an experience of freedom rather than experience of fear. Somebody say amen. And sometimes we look at grace and all we think about is the pardon of sin. But grace is the power to be able to, you know, to be able to hunt, to pursue God's holiness within our life. That's what we need, leaders. We need leaders that, you know, that just say, "Oh, thank God the grace of Jesus is covering me, you know, because I sinned, because I made a mistake." No, we need to learn to allow Jesus to shape us, to say, "Listen, I have the power and the freedom not to fear the holiness of God." That's grace. That's what grace I need in my life. Say amen. Another thing, I won't belabor a lot of these points, but I just want what he put into his life, I believe. He also shaped Peter with the spirit of stewardship. Stewardship. You know what stewardship is? Ownership of our life. Control of our money, our time, our talents, our decisions, our futures, our wills, our lives. Stewardship. Shaping a leader into being a stewardship. When we begin to understand the responsibility and accountability and obedience, those things. Look at me for a second. Sometimes as leaders, we don't look at the value of responsibility and accountability and obedience. But when God shapes a leader into being a man of stewardship, those things are not restraints in a man's life or a woman's life. They're factors in their man or woman's life. Factors of stewardship. Ownership of their life. We struggle with these things. We struggle with responsibility. We struggle with accountability. We struggle with obedience. Amen. That we struggle with stewardship. We struggle. A leader still struggles with the ownership of his life. As a leader, you have to surrender all of your life, the ownership of your life to Jesus so as he shapes you to be a leader. Can I hear somebody say amen? Amen. Grace. Stewardship. This one, this is one that, this I got two more, but this next one is one that we deal with all the time. And that's contentment. A leader that understands contentment. I'm going to read this and then I'm going to explain it, okay? So that you'll stay with me. And then I got one more. I'm talking about leaders. A contented person is not a person who has everything they want, but it's a person who wants everything they already have. Contentment. 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 Contentment, an internal satisfaction which does not demand changes in internal circumstances. And what I have faced many times is leaders that are not content. Content. In other words, their contentment level is up here. It's always by what they desire. And when they don't get what they desire, they become discontented. That's why Paul said, I've learned to be content no matter what I've got. I've got good, I've got bad, I've got plenty, I've got want, but I've learned because my contentment level never shifts. Some pastors, some leaders think, okay, when I get there, then I'm going to be content. Now, that's okay to have passion and drive, but when your contentment level, it moves because it's dependent on what you have. You sit here, you don't have nothing, you say, okay, I'm not content, but I'm going to get that. That's what I want. And what happens when you don't get what you want, there are leaders and there are people in the church that because they have a spirit of discontent, come on, they make crazy decisions. Huh? They thought, don't get me wrong, because we all do this, because we have guys in the homes and girls in the homes. We have guys and girls that have messed up their whole life. God gives them a new life. And they think with this new life that they can't be content without a mate. Or that just happened in Denver. So their Christianity, their contentment level comes, okay, thank God for my salvation, but I'm not content yet until I have my mate. And so when that never happens, because they can't, their contentment level is based on that. So when that happens, they become discontent. And so they make decisions and they marry anybody. They think that's a God based on their discontentment, not on their contentment. Come on, somebody say amen. Is that right? And then the guy comes back and he says, Pastor, he goes, a month later, after we told him not to, I said, that's not the one. You're not ready for it. Amen. You still got things you got to deal with. And a month later, he comes back and says, Pastor, I married the Llorona. That's not even, that's leaders sometimes. Let me do another one. A leader and his wife, their contentment level is up here. They don't have. They got good jobs. They want a house. They want a car. Because their contentment level, right there, it shifts. I'm a leader. I got a call. But I'm not content right now because I don't have what I want. And so what they do is they go get a job that's going to pay them more money. But they're not going to be able to come to church. Or they're not going to they're not going to be able to be committed. And they work themselves because they make their decisions based on discontentment, not on contentment. You have to be content with where you're at and what you have. And then guess what? God will drop it on you. And it won't even mean that much. Because you're content. Okay, God. And that's why, listen, that's why this, I've learned this from Pastor. He always keeps his blessings right here. Money, material things, right here, in his hand. The blessings of God are supposed to be in your hand, never in your heart. Because when they get in your heart, you think they're yours. And they infect you with a sickness that wants more. I want more. They're supposed to be right here. You're right here. Okay, Lord, if my hand is empty, I'm still happy, God, because you saved my life. And I love this vision. I'm right here. Amen. I know that job. I need that job. Oh! Listen, the devil doesn't just, come with horns. Sometimes he wears a red dress and a three-piece suit. Amen. Sometimes the devil comes. as a business opportunity. Because he's trying to take you out, brother. And because you've never protected your contentment level as a leader, you don't protect it. You think, oh, that's good. A new car is going to make me happy. I'm going to make my wife happy. I'm going to get a house, have money, because we never had it before. What happens is that you never protect your contentment level. Huh? That's why Jesus looked at Peter and called him the devil. Huh? Because he, in his mind, his thinking was crazy, man. Because when he said, okay, let's make three tents here. Jesus, you, Moses, who, Elijah, we're going to put the tent. There was something wrong with him because in his mind, he's thinking, that's what's going to bring, you know, contentment to my life when I see these things. That's why Jesus said, get behind me, devil. Get thee behind me. You don't even know the plans and the purposes of God. Amen. You don't even know what you're saying. Is that good stuff or is that good stuff? How many leaders do we lose because they make decisions based on their discontentment and not their contentment in life? Where's your line? Where's your line at? Huh? That's what Paul said, by God, I got it, I don't got it. The line never changes because I let God determine the line. I don't let my wife determine my line. I don't let my wants determine the line. I let God determine my line. That is so important. It goes along with what I said last night about our lives being surrounded, our faith being surrounded by our lives, or our life being surrounded, because that's where we live. We can talk about vision and cause all we want. That's where we live right there. That's the kind of leaders that we're making. That's the kind of leaders that we are shaping for the future. Pastor Sonny needs leaders. Pastor Danny needs leaders. We need to build this Rio Grande region. Amen. We need to build it. Amen. When I look out, when I look into my church, I say, where are the leaders that are going to shape the future of our ministry? That when Pastor Sonny asks for a man. Somebody say amen. You know, they gave up a good job. Years. You know, and two guys I gave out at the same time, almost, right? Was it the same time? Well, Joy was already out, right? It was the same time almost, right? Because, Pastor Ezra came and he said, what about Joey? What about Joey? I said, for what? For the UTC East.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
I told Ezra, you know, because we've given a lot, you know. I've given some of my good men. And I said, Ezra, go get somebody else's son. Ezra's smart. You know what he did? He went and told Pastor Sonny. He said, Pastor Tom's got a guy. And so I was in a meeting at the corporate, and Pastor Sonny knocked on the door. You know, Pastor Sonny, he opened the door and says, Tom, I want to see you. I'm right in the middle of the meeting. And he walked in. And he says, you have a guy we need. And there's one thing I've never done in all of my life, ever. I've never said no to Pastor Sonny. I looked at him and said, okay, Pastor, I'll tell you what, I'll call him. He's got a good job. His wife's got a good job. They got three kids. I said, but it's not my choice. See, I'm from the old school. I'm from the school of Pastor Ed. Amen. I'm from the school that says, it is God that calls. It's not pastors that call. It is God that determines the calling. It's not pastors say, you go, you stay. I need you. You go, you stay. You stay, you stay. I go, you stay. Go. Boom, boom. You stay. Go, go, go. I didn't even treat. What's wrong with me? You know where I learned that from? I learned it from my pastor. Dodie and I We pioneered a church for 9 years, and then I noticed that my pastor needed somebody to take over his music. The opportunity came. We left our church for 9 years, went to the mother church, and we took over. I took over all his music, everything. I did everything. I did all the choir, all the music. I did the television. I did all that. And my wife did all the children. He came in. and we dedicated a year, almost 2 years, past Sunday. We had three services, and they had 300 kids. Stop for a moment and think about 300 Victory Arch kids. Wait, stop for another moment and say 300 of your kids. And, but I had it made. I tell you, I had it made. I had a salary. I'd never gotten a salary. I had a check. I didn't even know what a check was. Right, guys? What's your salary? Okay. Amen. Yeah, whatever comes in, that's what I get. Amen. No. Whatever's left over, I get. Amen. Well, amen. All the pastors, people are going, what? We know what we're talking about now. Mondays are our worst days or our best days. Pastors backslide on Monday. Amen. Marriages have more fights on Monday than any day in the life of a pastor. Why? Because the money didn't come in. But that's another message. There was a stirring. There was something, this, a restless spirit. It was there for a year and a half. I had a maid. I had housing. Pastor Sonny took care of me. He took me with him. I was under Charlie. Pastor Sonny was traveling the world. I could have stayed there, but something was wrestling. And one night in prayer, God spoke to both of us and said, clarify your call. Just clarify your call. Clarify your call. And I go, what does that mean? The Holy Spirit said, what are you supposed to be? Are you supposed to be a worship leader, associate pastor, or are you supposed to take a city? And we both felt, I'm a pastor. I feel the call of God to take a city. But you know the hardest thing was? To walk into my pastor's office, the founder of this ministry, and say, I love you, Pastor. My wife and I love you, and Sister Julie. We want to stay. We'd love to stay here and build this ministry and pick up that check every week. Felt like a man, amen. My wife goes, go pick up your check. Oh, yeah. I felt like a man. That's after 10 years, man, of pioneering, you know, nothing, you know. It's not my money and the church's money. It's everybody's money. Amen. And I walked up and said, but I can't because of the call of God in my life. And he looked at me and he said, then you answer the call of God. And I learned a lesson there. Because I hear, well, I'm not going to release my best men. Where in the world do we get that? Because it's God that calls. And so when he came in, so I said, I'm going to call him. I called Joey. He had a good job. Joey's got a good job. Joey's one of the biggest helps to me. I mean, he's the tech man, you know, the tech man. What's your guy's name? Kyle. He's the Kyle of Victory Arch of Denver, a pastor, though. They know everything. You know, Kyle knows everything. Amen. Kyle knows what's going on in your brain right now. Amen. He'll go, nothing. Amen. I can't. How do I can't even fix my watch. I didn't even charge it. Joey, go here. How do I do that? I want to put him. Joey, go. They're just like geniuses. Amen. They help me. Joey was just, he's such stability in our church, right? They're stability. They bring stability. The good guys, the strong guys, and they bring. And, you know, I know he had a call to take church. And I said, I called him. And I said, Joey, you pray. They want you in the UTC East. And two days later, he said, Pastor, we prayed. You didn't even have to pray about it because they were primed for that. One day at a conference, one day at a service, God had already called their life. They were just waiting for God to speak to my life because the call of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. When you can't handle your contentment, you disqualify yourself because you're like this. If Renee didn't have the line, Renee and Gemma didn't have that line, they would have said no. No. Or even sometimes this generation that I love, I do. They want everything tailor-made. Okay, I'll go with the team. I'll go with the worship leader. I'll go with a home director. I'll go with a salary. Amen. And a housing allowance, amen. Then I'll answer the call. No, know, maybe you need to get your line of contentment so you can learn what Paul did, Peter did, Pastor Sonny did. Come on, somebody say amen. 14 years in a house with all of his five children running the home. That's a discontent. That's leaders that have a contentment that understand this. Listen, what I have, I don't have anything, but that's okay. One day God's going to put something in my hand, but it's not going to be mine. It's going to belong to God. If he gives it to me, if he wants it back, he can have it back. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you this. No job saved me. No money saved me. It was the mercy and grace that saved my life. Somebody say woo! Okay, one more. I got this one more. One more. Because Jesus shapes leaders by their weaknesses, by shaping leaders by teaching them to unlearn some things, to help them understand what grace really is, and stewardship, and for them to understand the line of contentment. But the biggest thing was when Jesus shapes the life of a leader, and I'll close right now, he shapes leaders by enlarging their hearts. He was always enlarging the hearts of his leader, always trying to make their hearts bigger. Put a mission mindset in them. Look at me and just get this in your heart, and I'll close. Because this is, to me, probably the biggest thing. Because there are a lot of leaders, prospective leaders, potential leaders, that don't ever allow Jesus to enlarge their hearts, to make their hearts bigger. You know how he did that? You know the story of the boat. So Peter get on the boat. This is all about enlarging his heart. And Peter was a fisherman. He knew that lake. He had just fished that lake all night long and had caught nothing. So when Jesus told him, get on the boat and take your boat out, Peter, in his mind, he's saying, what is this guy asking me to do? Because I'm a fisherman, man. I know this lake. But what the Lord was doing was what every leader needs to do on a constant basis. This is just surrender when the Lord prompts you. Just surrender. Because listen, every time you surrender, the door of your heart opens up. Whenever you surrender something to the Lord, whenever the Lord tells you something and you get on the boat and you surrender, he cracks the door open of your heart. There's times that the Lord can deposit anything in your heart because your heart's not open. It's not open. Go ahead and come to me. Go ahead and play. Your heart's not open. There's a challenge that comes to your life, but you go, no. I know how to fish. I know fishing holes in this lake. I'm a fisherman. You're just a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. But when he said, Master, we fished all night long, haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll do it. So that when they got out, you know the story, when they got out to the thing, because you know that fish don't swim in the deep, the shallow. Fish don't swim in the night or the day, they swim in the night. You know all that. When those fish started jumping on the boat, it wasn't Jesus' fisherman skills that touched his heart. It was that the reality that Jesus didn't make the boat go to where the fish were. He made the fish swim to where the boat was. When he saw that, something happened in his heart because he cracked. He surrendered. The door of his heart cracked open. Jesus deposited something. He gave his life. You cannot give your life until Jesus has impacted your heart. As leaders, we need to surrender. Because let me tell you something. Look at me. Everyone look at me, and I'll close with this. The true nature of that story is that he could not deposit anything into his heart in the shallow. He needed to take it from the shallow to the deep. Leaders surrender their heart to God, no matter how much they know or how much they don't know. What happens is Jesus transitions the life of a leader from the shallow to the deep. It's in the deep that we see the miracles of God. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Would you say this? Jesus can't enlarge a leader's heart in the shallow. It has to be in the deep. That's how he shapes leaders. Guys, we need leaders, man. We need leaders. We need leaders coming out of those homes. We need leaders in our gang. We need leaders in our church. We need leaders that are going to be able to do what God has called to. Come on, let's all stand. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands. We're going to close in just a minute. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, magnify your name. Come on, hallelujah. Just lift your hands all over this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What are you guys going to say? Okay, go ahead. Come on, just lift your hands. Amen.
You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice.
Shape our heart, Lord. Shape our heart, Lord God. Hallelujah.
I will open up the sky.
Come on, if you're a leader, a potential leader, God spoke into your life, I want you to come. Say, God, make shape into that leader, like shape me into that leader that I need to be, God, in my life.